The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome to God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, the host. We're here every week at this time. We hope you'll join us right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Today, Father Rob Ramser is joining us. And Father, you just moved, but we'll get to that and the entire journey. But welcome, first of all.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
You're a familiar voice to the station. You evangelize in that way by helping out with certain things, IDs and things like that. So thank you for that.
Oh, my honor.
Father, where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school?
Grew up in the old Brooklyn neighborhood of Cleveland. Went to St. Leo the Great for grade school. After that, Trinity for high school. And in 05, I graduated. Then John Carroll. And after college, I went into the seminary. I was ordained a priest in 2015.
So you were at John Carroll on your own, not under the priest formation?
Yes, I went on my own. I got my BA in religious studies. And the tug was always there. And at the end of my senior year, middle of senior year, I said, okay, Lord, the tug hasn't gone away. And I contacted the vocation office, and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. The fact that you have your BA in theology says that there was a seed forever.
Gosh, yes. I mean, the seed was first kind of planted way back in fourth, fifth grade when I started serving at St. Leo's. Something about who the priest was and the Mass and what was going on, something just struck, and it never left. Through grade school, through high school, through college. And like I said, by the end of college, I said, okay, Lord, something's there. I got to explore it. And I contacted Father Mike Gernick, the then vocation director, met with him, and got into the seminary and started up that following fall.
Did you ever think about it after high school, before you went to college, to maybe enter then? Or you just wanted to be sure?
You know, I prayed about it and thought about it. And not only was I not ready for that, I wanted a little bit more breadth of experience going to John Carroll on my own, and I'm glad I did. I met great people, had great opportunities, learned some wonderful things, but then it was that good background and that interaction with people of all different sizes and shapes that has helped me in my priesthood to be able to interact with people and connect with people, so it was a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your home life as a kid.
Home life was pretty normal. One younger sister, Rebecca, mom and dad put us through Catholic school the whole way, God bless them, and Mass was a big part of our life. Grew up in a kind of an ethnic household. There's a lot of Polish and Slovak, so the ethnic traditions around the holidays really centered Christmas and Easter and other times of the year, and family was close. My grandparents lived right up the road, and my dad's parents still lived down in Alliance, not too far away. So we were always around family, always around good moments, and the faith was kind of interweaved through all of that. Now, not saying we had, you know, candles lit all the time in shrines, but it was just a given part of your life that God is there, and Mass kind of centered that on the weekends, and it just was kind of part and parcel of who you were. And I would say it was a phenomenal life growing up.
Did your parents see that? Did you discuss that with your parents, this little calling?
I did. And, you know, God bless my mom and dad. My mom and dad wanted to make sure that as I talked about this, and it wasn't just a fluke, you know, about being a priest. It was there, grade school, high school, through college, that I was doing it for the right reasons. I wasn't doing this just because it would make my grandmas happy. I wasn't doing this just to gain any kind of notoriety or it might be something neat or cool to do. It was for the right reason. And they were really good about that. And they challenged me. It was a good eye-opener that when you do something like this and you give your life you don't just do it flippantly. Do it because this is really what God's calling you to do. And they were very helpful, and I thank God for it every day, that they pushed me on some things and just didn't kind of like, oh, yes, that's wonderful, do whatever. They really made sure that this is going to be your life, and you got to do it for the right reasons, and that was great.
Did anybody ever say to you, why don't you become a priest?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So other people saw it?
Other people saw it, yep, other people saw it. And in fourth grade, we were allowed to start serving at St. Leo's. And just something, again, about that. And people would say, we think about being a priest throughout the years. So something, I know it just wasn't me. Something mm-hmm. was working. Something was there. And it just was kind of ratified as I went along through my schooling and just even in other encounters that God might be calling me to something else.
The example of priest when you're an altar boy, I did exactly the same thing that you did. Mm-hmm. Didn't go any farther than that. My grandmother used to say, Paulie, why don't you become a priest? But that didn't happen. But nonetheless, there's something about serving, something about being that close to the consecration in the Eucharist. And I can't describe it. Maybe you can do a better job.
Oh, absolutely. You get a sense that something very different is happening. You know, there's a reality, there's a truth to what we're doing at Mass. And once you're there and you get to be so close and hear the prayers that others may not hear mm-hmm. and get to know why we take such care of our vessels and vestments and churches and why we give such respect to what we're doing, you do get a sense this is opening us up to a whole nother reality that we might not be able to see with our naked eye, but is really going on, mm-hmm. you know. And being so close to the priest and getting to kind of know them and the way they celebrate Mass and the way they interact with people, I mean, I was blessed getting to know some wonderful priests at St. Leo's growing up. Actually, one of them was a very young Father Mike Gernick.
Oh, sure. I know him from the cathedral when
absolutely.
I was there.
And he taught me how to serve. And wouldn't you know it, all these years later, he preached my first Mass. So who would have thought that?
Yeah.
But just wonderful guys who were very different. So you got to see how priests are people, too. And they have their, you know, good mornings and their, you know, grumpy mornings. And they have all that. But it was just that dedication to God and to his people that was just striking.
I always thought that some of the priests that I really got along with, Newman in college, mm-hmm. and be hard to live up to what he was living, you know, and with the grace of God, he was living it. But it seems like it would be very, very difficult. But you haven't stopped smiling since we've been here.
Oh, well, thanks. And really, it is, at the end of the day, there are moments, but I wouldn't trade a day of it. You know, I think in any vocation in life, there are some great joys and there's some sorrows, but at the end of the day, God provides.
Mm-hmm. You entered the seminary. Now, yes. How big of a change in your life was that?
It was a change and not a change. I mean, I kind of laughed. I went to like 27th grade in Catholic school by the end of seminary. So I went through Catholic school my whole life. But it was different because you really begin to practice obedience. And you're going to get to learn that there's sign-ins and sign-outs, that there's expectations of you beyond yourself, that your life really isn't your own. There's a pattern of prayer. There's a pattern of meetings, of classes, of field ed work. We get to go out into the diocese and work with people. And you really get to understand that God wants all of it, you know, and even the grumbles, even the worries, even the fears. And that really is kind of parsed into you and kind of stretching you throughout those years of formation. So it was a good challenge. It was mm-hmm. a good challenge.
Seems like it's very well thought out.
Absolutely.
To stretch you out, as you say.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, stay right there. We're going to be back on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. AM 1260 The Rock is what you're listening to. We hope you'll listen each and every week. Father Rob Ranzer with us, and we'll be right back. You're listening to AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is Paul Orlowski. And today on God Calling, I'm here with Father Rob Ranzer. And Father, you're at the seminary. You were talking about sign-ins and sign-outs, a lot of discipline, but that leads to a disciplined life, which is what the life of a priest is.
Absolutely. You know, when you enter seminary, they really begin to help you understand that when you kneel before the bishop, God willing, and you're ordained, mm-hmm. you promise certain things to him. You know, we promise to live a celibate life. We promise obedience, you know, and that's probably the most difficult thing we promise. A lot of people think it's celibacy, and with God's help and God's grace, it's difficult. We can live it out every day for the kingdom, but obedience is the one where you're saying, my life isn't my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you promise obedience, respect to me and my successors. So we promise to the bishop, we are going to put our life into your hands as our father, as the leader of this diocese to use us as you see fit for the good of the people. And that begins with signing in and signing out. Oh, I'm in my 20s. I need to do that. Yeah, because we're responsible to more people than just us.
Mm-hmm.
And as a priest, we always got to remember that. It's more than just what I'd like to do and my wants and my needs, but we're responsible and we're helping a lot of people. So we have to make sure that we're at a good place and staying on the straight and narrow to be able to do that.
Through the seminary, any times of doubt, I guess, and how did you overcome that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are great moments where when you open your heart more to God, we know the evil one's going to try to pull us away. And I think in the seminary, it's really that sense of, oh, all you're worth is your sin. You don't really want to do this. You're not going to make a good priest. You're just going through the motions. And it's bringing that to the Lord. And it really helps stretch, but also crumble and rebuild a prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
And of that true, unique love that God has for each and every one of us, and he has for me, that I am loved by this God who made everything and who would go through the passion all over again for me, coming to understand that and living out of that, then we help others do the same. So in those moments of doubt, it was just going to the Lord honestly and saying, Lord, is this for me?
Mm-hmm.
Can I do this? Why am I here? And those heart-to-heart, gut-to-gut conversations with God were some of the best moments of prayer I had.
Mm-hmm. You were ordained in 2015, but
yes.
Before that, you had some field experiences, lots of them from what I've read. And how important is that in forming the priest that you are today?
Oh, it was extremely important, Paul. I was able to go through a lot of different experiences of working with RCIA at Holy Redeemer
mm-hmm.
in the Cleveland area.
Collinwood.
In Collinwood area. I was able to be with the backdoor ministry of St. Malachy, serving those in need at their window. I was able to spend a year at St. Christopher's in Rocky River, living at the rectory, learning what it means to have that routine of a priest and being with the people. I was at the juvenile detention center with a great group from Resurrection Parish in Solon, mm-hmm. and that was very eye-opening and very moving to go in there and meet these young men who took some wrong turns but want to know God. You know, and then you're a deacon at a parish, and I was at St. Basil's down the road in Brecksville. Phenomenal people.
Huge parish.
Oh, huge parish. Phenomenal people. And then Father Walt Jenny was pastor, and he was a great mentor. So it was just phenomenal experiences going through to give you a taste of a little bit of everything. So by the time you're done with seminary, you've worked with the gamut of people in the diocese and get a sense of, okay, this is where we're at. This is what's out there to be able to jump in and help out as a priest.
Mm-hmm. Father Jenny, I joked with him one time. It's such a large parish. And I said, how do you guys remember names? And in St. Basil's, that'd be a job.
You know, God is good. So sometimes it's by, okay, this person does this and you get a name. But I found sometimes it's a lot of good to see a pal. Thanks, honey. And people are very patient. Thanks be to
sure.
God as the Rolodex fills up. But he was a great reminder of, sometimes you just got to laugh at yourself as a priest. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
Father Walt would get up there and just kind of be like, you know what, here it is, and here we're going to go. And it was great because sometimes you do. Like, I can't take myself too seriously
because
this is God's work. And, you know, it's just taking it step by step.
A lot to be done, for sure.
Amen.
Which takes me back to the juvenile detention center. Sometimes you see some of these kids in the courtrooms and such, and you just wonder, is that just a lost soul? And that's probably a terrible way to think, but that's maybe the way a news reporter thinks.
Sure.
And not a priest. You look at the whole person.
Sure. And when you get to sit down and talk with them, I mean, we'd go in there, and it might be the only time all week where they have a listening ear who doesn't want something out of them or have to do this for their probation or do anything like that. It's just, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? And to have Mass with them. I mean, and to really see these young men were hungry for the Word of God, and they were attentive, and they were wanting to be healed, and just know that they're not alone. It was phenomenal, and it really was a beautiful eye-opener. I went all year long from August through May, every Sunday night for 3.5 hours. We went to the juvie, and it was phenomenal. It was a great experience.
You're ordained in mm-hmm. 2015,
mm-hmm.
and off you go, back to obedience. They just send you where they want to. Where'd you go?
Yes, so So we went down to see the bishop right before we get ordained, and it was a big day. We meet our pastors, and I get my letter, and Bishop Lennon assigns me to St. Ambrose in Brunswick, and my eyes kind of go wide. St. Ambrose is like the largest parish of the diocese, and Father Bob Steck is a force of nature.
Isn't that the case?
But it was absolutely God's hand at work. St. Ambrose was a phenomenal first assignment. Father Bob is a great guy, a great mentor, and they're phenomenal people down there doing great things. So I was there for 4 years, and I really got the gambit of priestly work and priestly ministry. And then after that, I was assigned to St. Angelo Merici over in Fairview Park, with Father Michael Lanning, another great parish. Different. You get to see the different parts of the diocese, but hardworking, generous, good people over in Fairview Park. And then would have been a four-year assignment, but I got a call, and there was obedience that the bishop asked me to go to St. Columbkill. Only 2 years into my assignment in Fairview Park, and I said, okay, when do I start? So only about 2 weeks ago, I moved into St. Columbkill, and now I'm serving the good people over there in Parma.
You know, it's a letter or a phone call is going to come at some point in time. Do you sometimes say, boy, I'm 3.5 years here, it's coming soon? And because clearly you love St. Ambrose, you love St. Angelo Merici, but you know it's coming, and back to that obedience.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, with the way things are right now, I mean, I wish I could say there were 10,000 of us, but there aren't. And so the needs of the diocese, things happen quickly. And you just got to say, okay, where are we best utilized in doing this priestly work? And you know it's coming, but sometimes when you see that number pop up, it's like, you know, what's going on? And it's just one of those things. You think back to when I knelt in front of Bishop Lennon, and I put my hands in his, like, okay, Lord, I made the promise, but like anything else, you always see it through. So we just say yes and keep moving on.
Bishop Perez told me when he got the call, that I guess the way the phone call starts is, are you alone? And he said, it's only 2 years. Because he did like it here. I'm sure he likes Philadelphia as well, but nonetheless. But Father, stay where you are. Father Rob Ramser joining us on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. Stay tuned. Father Rob Ramser joining us. Until very recently, St. Angelo Merici Parish, and now has moved. How do you like the parish town of St. Columbkill?
Oh, I love it. It's a good place. It's a good place. I'm with Father Anthony Suso, and I'm finding that the people are passionate, they're dedicated, and it's a newer parish. It's under 70 years old, so in the eyes of the church, it's pretty new. But there's a lot of great things going on. Great school. There are great ministries, outreach ministries. I was just made spiritual advisor for the Holy Name Society there at the parish, and it's just great hunger for God. And you see that. You really do see that. And it's a changing parish. The demographics are changing a little bit, but people are coming in. People are looking for hope, especially with everything going on now. Yeah. You know, we're really kind of just opening up after almost 2 years of shutdowns and restrictions. And how many people I've heard come back to church and say, Father, it's like my first communion. It's so good to be back, so good to be home, and it's a blessing to be able to be there and experience that.
I've told that story a couple of times, but we had a communion tent, so we'd watch online, and you could drive through. And the first time after the complete closure, I had the Eucharist. I should feel that way every week.
Amen.
Every day. I had tears in my eyes. You don't realize what you were missing until you miss it, I guess, you went back until you had it again. But it was a good experience because it deepens things. And some of the stuff I've read about you, Father, you enjoy pilgrimages and you do a lot of stuff, video sorts of stuff and talks on various topics. Tell me about that ministry.
So the pilgrimage ministry kind of came even in my seminary days. I thought of an event at St. Chris to do a bus trip. We have some beautiful churches in Cleveland, some great communities, ethnic communities. And I went to the pastor, Father Clebo, and said, hey, what about this? He goes, well, go ahead, try it. And I got a bus full of people, and I loved it. And I've taken people throughout our diocese, and then even up to Detroit, and down to Marietta, and Cincinnati, and Toledo, and Covington, Kentucky, just to see these beautiful churches and experience the faith of these communities. And then internationally, I went to Father Bob and I said, I think I might want to do something international. And God bless him. He said, go for it. And I took groups to Poland and Medjugorje and Italy. I'll be leading groups this year, God willing, to Oberammergau for the Passion Play. And then my second time in November to the Holy Land. So it's just phenomenal to really look at the fact that we're all on pilgrimage. This whole Catholic life's a pilgrimage. And to learn from these places, these holy sites, these holy people, it's just a phenomenal experience to bring people with me on that journey.
Now, your first Mass was at St. Stanislaus.
Yes, it was.
That's a neat parish. I remember doing a news story down there one time because, well, then Cardinal Wolitzia had said Mass there at one point in time. And I don't know if it was when he was made Pope or what it was, but we went down there to talk to some of the people who had been at that Mass, and they really felt touched. So it's, from that standpoint, a very holy place.
Oh, an absolute blessing. That was my parish during seminary, and to be able to just get to know even better those good people and the fact that Cardinal Wojtyła had Mass there and gave the parish the relic of St. Stanislaus, and there's still great pride there. People served for him. People went to that Mass, and it's imbued with that spirit of John Paul. And there's a strength there in that neighborhood with Cleveland Central Catholic, with their grade school, and the parish is really still a powerhouse. So it was an absolute honor to be able to have my first Mass there.
You do a lot of talks on various topics, podcasts, videos, things like that. How important is that today in reaching younger people, keeping younger people attuned to the church?
Oh, I think extremely important. I mean, it's part of that new evangelization. You know, we hear that word all the time. It's one of those buzzwords. But what does it mean? It just means, how do we preach the gospel in a way that people are going to be interacting with it? You know, back in the day, it was preaching on street corners. It might have been big parish missions. Well, what's today? It's podcasts. Yeah. It's doing a video series on YouTube. It's little snippets on TikTok, whatever it is, using the modern tools to evangelize and to really kind of make them holy. You know, there's a lot of junk out there. Well, how can we use it well? So these little videos, it's 2-3 minutes, but it's something about the faith or something about a season or something about scripture that just captures people's attention. And even I'm blessed here to do weekly reflections on the scriptures. It's 2-3 minutes, but it's just enough to say, hey, this is what's going on. This is how it impacts us. And, oh, never thought of that. So I think it's a win-win.
And preparing those, you're evangelizing, re-evangelizing, I guess, yourself in a way, because it makes you reflect.
Oh, absolutely. And it reminds me of the reality and importance of the scriptures and how they do speak to us as true today as the day they were written.
Yeah. A little bio here. It says that you most closely identify with St. Thomas.
Yes, yes, you know, wonderful Thomas, the poor guy, always gets kind of put as a doubter. But really, you know, it's always that question, I need to see, I want to see. And it's, again, Thomas was stretched immensely. The excitement of the others, we saw him, we saw the Lord. No. I'm not going to believe until this. What does the Lord do? He answers the prayer. He doesn't chide him or scold him. He says, okay, here you go. You know, put your hand in my side, touch the nail marks. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. And it's just one of those things, Lord, help me believe. Help me more and more every day. And even if it's not going to be running a marathon of faith, let me take a few more steps to you and kind of be more in love with you today than I was yesterday. So he's a role model.
I know there's a lot of coursework in this, but how tough is the ministry to the grieving, funerals, things like that? It's got to be a tough job.
It is. It is. I mean, and no matter what, I mean, I have a funeral coming up this week of a 98-year-old. God bless him, good long life, but difficult. You know, I just had a funeral the other week of a 50-something-year-old who died unexpectedly.
Wow.
There's been children, and it's just meeting people where they're at and really reminding us that this is not the end of the story. Life has changed, not ended in death. So it's really walking with people and not rushing them to be where you think they should be, but just meeting them where they're at and just taking those steps and reminding them that the church, God, we're here for you throughout this whole process.
If you had a conversation with Jesus, what would you say? I'd probably just listen.
I think I'd really just listen. And honestly, I might even ask a few whys just to kind of get a sense of, Lord, you know, why is this going on in the world? The why of your passion. There are moments when things could have been so much clearer, but they went the way that you deemed them to go. And just to kind of get some good feedback and to listen to them. But I don't think why is a bad question to ask of God, because it promotes an answer. And it's again, it stretches us out.
One way or the other, the answer will come.
Yes, it will. Amen.
But we tend to be a society of instant gratification. And
you got
not
that.
Not always going to be that right. Anyway, Father, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Father Rob Ramser was our guest today on God Calling. We hope you'll join us each and every week at this very same time on God Calling. This is AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the archive audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.